Hi, this is Mark Silverman. A warm welcome back to those of you who made it, and a friendly word of warning, something you won't find in any guidebook. The next time you check into a deserted hotel on the dark side of Hollywood, make sure you are tuned in to the Disney Parks Podcast.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Park Hopper John from WDWParkHoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's show. We have an incredible guest with a client list of more than 35 of the top athletes and teams, such as Heinz Ward, Smoke and Joe Frazier, Roberto Clemente family, and many, many more. Our guest today is the one that today's athletes, their teams, and other businesses are going to for the highest quality action portraiture available. Kevin John is currently under contract with the Walt Disney Company to create incredibly themed out theme park exclusive art for the Walt Disney World Art Galleries. And he's celebrating his silver anniversary back in 2012. Kevin John has shown a deep dedication to countless charitable concerns, such as his art has helped to raise more than $500,000 for deserving causes over the past 25 years. We have so much fascinating stuff to dive into today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast, Mr. Kevin John.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. And hello to your loyal audience.
Oh, thanks. You know, I was saying that the last time we kind of were face-to-face was you were selling Figment and Flowers at the Flower and Garden Festival in June of 2014. So it feels like you've been gone for so long.
I know. It's and for me, that time has passed rather quickly. And we're coming up on this is my third year. Now I'm going into my third year under my Disney contract, and that was 2 years ago that we premiered the Flowers and Figment art, and yeah, that signing seems like it was just yesterday, Tony. It's crazy. The last 2 years have flown by.
Yeah, I mean, you were just like getting your feet wet and trying to figure out the whole process with Disney. So it's been probably an interesting trip for you, and you've probably done a lot of crazy things. So let's start with the Gravedigger art. Okay. You know, Haunted Mansion is, you know, one of the iconic, I think, attractions in Disney World and Disneyland. So how did the Gravedigger art come about? Who said, hey, let's do a Gravedigger thing? Was that you? Was that Disney?
Yeah, they pretty much give me free rein to submit ideas that I would like. You know, my direction from Disney is really to concentrate on the experiences within the parks. I don't do a lot of character art. You know, any of the, I guess you would call them characters that I would do would be the characters from the attractions in the parks. You know, there are lots of talented character artists out there that are handling fine art for Disney from the character and film standpoint. I'm kind of taking care of the attractions that we love in the parks. So, you know, I kicked off my Disney series with the Hatbox Ghost portrait right away. I followed that up with the Epcot piece that we just talked about with Figment. And the monorail and Spaceship Earth and the like. For my third piece, I wanted to revisit the Haunted Mansion again because we were celebrating the 45th anniversary, and I wanted to do something that, again, would commemorate that. And the mansion also being one of my top two favorite attractions. It went through some style changes. Initially, Disney wanted me to create very realistic paintings of the attractions and of the audio animatronics. But once I started creating the concept sketches for that, they quickly realized that, you know, I'm so accurate with them that they look identical to the AAs, the audio animatronics. But if you look at that through a casual guest's eyes, they would look like poorly painted humans, right?
Mm, right.
because they do have a little bit of characterization to them. So they kicked that back to me and said, you know, let's try turning those that gravedigger character into a real human. So I did that and kicked that over to them, and it was a little too real. Now we were going to a little more gothic look, I think, than what they wanted. So they actually asked me to just maybe step away from that idea completely. And I asked them if I could have one more shot at a concept for it. So what I had then submitted was kind of a stylized version, almost creating my own character based on that audio animatronic. And what I used as kind of the influence for it is the stylings of the old Scooby-Doo cartoons from the 60s. And I grew up with that, you know,
right.
And always loved Scooby-Doo. And really, I was influenced by the beautiful artwork in the backgrounds and the color palette that they used for those cartoons. So my Gravedigger piece really comes across with that look and feel. I sent those concepts over to them, and they loved them. They approved it right away, and I went to original art with it. So it really has a different look than the other art that I produced for Disney. And so that's how that one came about, and that's kind of the story. I was able to do a couple of homages with that piece on the gravestones, and I'll let the viewers, meaning the viewers of the art and your listeners, kind of seek that out on your own and find those little homages in the piece, homages to great Disney Imagineers, and I try and do that with each of the pieces that I create, you know, paying respect to the artists and the Imagineers that came before me. But I love the piece because it is so different from my other art. I'm not a character artist, yet Disney allowed me to create essentially my own character styling for Disney, which I think is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, when you said Scooby-Doo, I almost burst out laughing because in my head I'm saying it's kind of Scooby-Doo-ish, and yeah. That's exactly what you said. So
yeah.
You know,
I'm glad. Thank you for that.
Because that's what popped into my head when I first saw that. I said, it's kind of Scooby-Doo-ish. And, you know, you have a way of putting the details in there. And sometimes you really have to do that double take to kind of really get in there and go, oh, look at all that stuff in there. I mean, I remember the hat box goes, all the details on, like, the skull. You know, you really... At first, you have to get kind of close to it. You know, from afar, you go, oh, it's a skull. But when you get close, right. You're like, oh my, oh, look at all the stuff in there. Look at all the details of the marbling and the little cracks and the hair fractures and all that other kind of stuff that's in there. So,
Thank you. And Tony, I really think that comes from where my art was over the first really almost 20 years.
Hmm.
Maybe about 15 years. You know, as you and I have talked about before, I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
So
that fascinates me.
Thank you. For the first large portion of my career, all of my art was black and white. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't have the ability to wow people with pretty color, I tried to wow them with detail. So now that I'm painting in full color, and I've kind of really gotten a handle on how to do that at a world-class level, even with my color deficiency, I can't step away from the detail. I know that as a watercolor artist, that I should be painting foggy, misty, watercolor pieces, and they should be very vague. I've heard it described as a watercolor piece should look like what you see through your eyes when you squint. And I can't do that. Watercoloring is it keeps going back to a tight, detailed type of an effect. And I love that fans of my work and like you just said, you really can get into the piece and live in the piece. That will really become evident to you when we talk about the Tiki Room piece here in a little while.
Yeah, and. I, you know, If you said to me, well, Kevin John does watercolor, I'd say, well, you're crazy, because it really doesn't look like that at first glance. At least to me it does, and maybe other people. You know, art is to the eye of the beholder, I guess. But to me, it has more depth than, watercolor. Maybe I'm thinking old school watercolor.
No,
Renaissance watercolor stuff.
Yeah, I think you're nailing that. I have artists that will ask me what I use.
Yeah.
They're looking at it and they can't even really define. And it's because I'm largely a mutt, with what I use. I'm untrained. Everything that I have a high school education. So everything I've done with my art is really self-taught and what I received as an education in high school. To whom, I owe a great deal of credit to my art teacher in high school, Nancy Bryan. She is just wonderful. However, you're right. In the traditional sense, I'm not using watercolor the way that it should be used. And watercolor is it's sometimes looked upon as the Walmart of media too.
Mm, yeah.
You do watercolor. Well, we do oils, and it's
right.
Just, I'm kind of the redheaded stepchild, but I wear that badge proudly because, the public responds to the art. And that's really how I've always gauged art and my, any amount of success or failure that I have with my art, it all comes down to are people buying it off the walls or not?
Right.
And if people are buying it off the walls, then we're doing something right.
Right. Yeah. And the amount of detail on all your pieces is fascinating. I love the Hatbox Ghost, which is one of my favorite characters. But the one piece of art that you've done that I find most fascinating, unfortunately, is a ride that I'm terrified of, which is the Tower of Terror. But I love all the symbols and iconography throughout the entire ride. And your piece with that hotel bellhop is chilling and exciting. It's mesmerizing. It's a fascinating piece.
Thank you, John. Thank you. How do you say, a thousand things about an attraction that you love so much with one piece of art?
Yeah.
I'm so lucky that Disney has chosen me to represent these amazing attractions in art. There really aren't very many other artists that are doing that. There's a couple of other Haunted Mansion pieces and a couple of Tiki Room interior, like Tiki Birds and things like that, paintings. But really, from a full attraction standpoint, from the parks, that I'm really one of the only guys that are doing that. And I'm so blessed to be able to do that, so fortunate. And so when I visit these places, these attractions through my art, I'm visiting them as a fan. I come at this from the standpoint of being an enormous fan of Disney, enormous fan of the Disney parks, and that attraction, the Tower of Terror attraction, is one that when I saw it for the first time in 1998, it took me to my knees. I mean, the levels of detail and the storytelling within that attraction. I mean, even making your way up through the gardens and you're hearing that ghostly trumpet music in the back,
yep,
playing those melodic, 30s tunes. It just takes you to a different place. I love the story. And so I had to start to try and tell that story a little bit with this piece. And those of you like both of you, and I'm sure like your listeners, will really appreciate those little keys and those little nods of detail about the attraction I put in the piece, like the room number 13 and
right,
the cracks and the chips of the wall around the elevator and back of the bellhop, and just all of those little things that we love about the environment that immerses us in that attraction.
Yeah. Have you ever been backstage of the Tower of Terror?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough when I was doing the research for this piece and
uh-huh.
taking all the photos and putting together the concepts and everything that I was able to get a pretty extensive tour the thing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about being able to live in one of those environments. You know, I could definitely see myself, you know, living there at the tower.
Yeah, it's a pretty complicated and complex ride, which people really don't understand. They think, oh, you just get on an elevator, you go up and down. Yeah, right. If only.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, we should hook you up with Mark Silverman, who does the voice on the Tower of Terror. He does, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name.
Rod Serling.
Right, he does,
Right.
He does that.
I know.
Have you met him?
I know Mark. We are we're friends socially through social media, and as a matter of fact, he owns one of my original concept sketches for the tower piece. Yeah, Mark obviously immensely talented.
And yes,
did all the voice work for the Tower of Terror.
Yeah, he's the. I think the estate has dubbed him the only person that could do Ron Serling's voice. So. You know, that says a lot, but he's a very good voice actor and a very funny person too.
Yeah. And he's, West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to, have to get together and have a cocktail at Trader Sam's in either East Coast or West Coast when one of us is at the other, location for sure.
Yeah. So, how does the process start? Does, you know, Disney come knocking and they go, hey, Kevin John, I'd like you, you know, can you do a piece on da-da-da? Or do you go, hey, you know, I have this idea for da-da-da?
Right. After initially Disney, you know, found me and, you know, offered me the contract and everything, essentially the process is, they take the leash off, so to speak, and let me run wild. You know, their only real direction with me is to focus on the elements in the park.
Right.
So I pretty much kind of come up with my own concepts, and let me tell you that it's not difficult. That is that is the easiest part of this whole job. The most difficult is figuring out which one to do next from the list of, you know, 1,000 ideas.
Yeah.
I keep people that collect my work love my Dark Disney. They love the mansion. They love the tower piece. But then I also have a lot of collectors that want pieces that are, which I'll call, you know, the bright and shiny, you know, the Epcot piece, the Figment piece, you know, the Tiki piece. So I have to really balance the two so that I don't become the Dark Disney artist, you know, and I'm making sure that I'm feeding those folks that want to collect the lighter side of Disney in terms of Kevin John art as well.
Yeah. Do you have a certain amount of pieces that you have to produce per year, per contract?
Not that I have to.
Okay.
It as much as I can. And
wow.
For me, you know, over the last 2 years, what I had to start doing was kind of backing off some of the other projects that I had contracted already. You know, I don't contract work a week out. I mean, there are contracts that I've carried that are, you know, 5-year contracts, 6-year contracts with different entities where I'm producing annual pieces for them. Or, I have a list of collectors that commission private projects, you know, that are one-ofs, you know, original pieces of art for their homes and collections and things.
Yeah.
So I really, over the last 2 years, have had to kind of get those things done and out of the way so that I can concentrate more on the Disney projects and some of the other larger retail projects that we want to create moving forward. So this year, I would like to do 3 more pieces for Disney. They've already, as of 2016, 2 of my pieces have now premiered, and I'd like to add 3 more to that by the end of the year.
Wow.
That process is long. I mean,
yeah.
We're talking, you know, it can take up to 300 hours or so from initial concept through all the revisions of the concepts to finally getting them to sign off on a concept that we can all agree on, getting okays through legal, then going to original art, getting the original art created, then having that original art finally approved, or, you know, for its final approval, and then right. signing off on it.
Yeah.
And then making it into the store, and then from the time the original gets into the gallery and it is sold, once it's sold, then it's about 140 days or so before the reproductions get into the...
That's a long time.
Yeah, right, right. So, right. I mean, that Tower of Terror piece that we talked about, it was placed in the gallery in October. It sold in 3 days.
Wow.
And we're talking, this is a $5,000 piece of art.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, $72. So, you know, this really, you know, this went really, really quick for having that larger price tag, although it was an enormous piece. And the reproductions, meaning the limited edition signed jaclés, and the what we call them the small matted deluxe prints,
right.
Those were started to be placed in the park just about the first week of January.
Yeah.
So you can see there's about 90 days in between there or so before we can really start to see those. Yeah, so it's a long period of time. So to hit three more by the end of the year is going to take. It's going to be pretty much all that I can do. I don't paint as quick as I probably should. Now, that being said, you also have to understand, I will probably produce probably 30 other pieces of art from now till the end of the year as well. Just three of them are going to be for Disney. The rest are other, again, other contracts that I have, and you know, other pieces that I'm responsible to produce for other clients.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I should mention that I love that you do is when people buy that 5,000 pieces of art, you actually go there, take a picture with them, and I think for the Tower of Terror, you did something on the back of the painting as well, like right. as if the front wasn't enough, you did something on the back of the painting.
It's again, I.
Now that's an artist with dedication to the craft.
Thank you, and more so, I think it's a dedication to my fan base and to my collectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot emphasize enough how honored I am. I mean, I've got Tony. I mean, think about it. I've got people all over the world that collect my art, that know my name, that are giving me and my art real estate within their homes.
Mm.
These buildings that they, you know, house their families and celebrate holidays and protect the, you know, their children with these homes and grow their families and memories and everything and pay, you know, small fortunes for. They are giving my artwork real estate within these buildings. And I am ever so grateful. It always, from the time I was 17 years old and started selling art professionally, it always is such an honor, that if I find out that a buyer is, you know, going to be purchasing a piece of art, you know, it's an hour drive for me into Orlando, and, I'm happy to do it and meet them and take photographs and spend some time. And then when I'm in the gallery, you know, I'm always more than happy to, you know, do little, you know, doodles for guests and take photos and sign autographs, or, you know, as I said, I always grab either the originals or, the framed prints or something that are hanging and do extra drawings on the back just because it's a gas. It's just, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm getting paid. I make a living with, you know, because I color with crayons. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good,
and that's amazing. And the thing about understanding who you are as an artist and realizing the place that you have in people's hearts is is humbling to hear from some people who are fans of yours, because we really love what you do, and we know a few of the Disney artists, and we're just in awe of the art that they and you create. And one of the cool things that you do is you do this thing called Fan Reward Wednesday. So for those people out there who are not familiar with what you do, could you kind of go through that and explain what Fan Reward Wednesday is all about?
Sure. Again, it's one of those ways that I can thank the people that have been so good to me. I have my personal Facebook page is not my private Facebook page. It is pretty much friends, family, collectors, everybody that I know and people that follow me from all over the world. And there's about, right now we're almost capped out at about 5,000 people. And I always want to do something extra, something that is over and above just providing them with artwork that they can buy. So a couple of years ago, I came up with this idea that let's make Wednesdays special. And sometimes let's just run a stupid, crazy sale on prints from my studio store online. And let's like make them like ridiculous prices. Like instead of $45 a print, which they normally are, I don't know, let's make them $15 and let's just blow them out. And let's just, anybody that can buy, that wants to buy some art, if you can't afford $15, then my art's really bad, right? Then you don't want it bad enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, $15, I'd buy a ton of it.
Right, you know, tomorrow we're running a $19 sale on like half the lithographs, more than half the lithographs that are on my store.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it's for a 24-hour period. We limit it, and it's fun because if you're one of those people that get in and get those, you know, pieces, it's fun for them. But the other thing we do is giveaways. Like, yeah, we do sales and everything, but that helps Kevin John. It helps the collector because they get something inexpensively, but, you know, I mean, when it all comes down to it, it makes us a little bit of money too. But what can we do that is strictly for the fans and strictly fun? And we do contests all the time, like free buy-ins, like, you know, like, share, and comment on this thing, and you're going to win an original sketch signed by me. Or we did a big one where we did a big giveaway at Christmas. Every Christmas we do a huge giveaway where it's like a really great something. Or we'll do, you know, just, you know, I'll go into the parks and I'll grab, maybe I'll go to a special event. And, you know, I'll get the pin and the button and the special brochure or something like that because I'm at the special event. Well, then I'll bring them home and I'll do little sketches on them and sign them and stuff. And I'll offer those as, you know, for Fan Reward Wednesday. So it's fun to follow me on Facebook because I'm always doing something crazy.
Right.
You can always watch the work be developed. I mean, I'm totally into sharing my creative process online with the fans, and you guys can sit and watch these pieces be created along the way. But then there's also other stuff. It's just intimate looks into my life and the life of a working artist. And then there's those, you know, fun days where we do these rewards as well.
Yeah. I don't know many artists that really post their art along the process. It's usually like, they'll tell us about the concept, and then they'll show us the finished thing, and then nothing in the middle. And with you, we kind of see it being developed. Even the framing process.
Sure. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people will share a piece that is just a sketch, and that's being represented then out there as my artwork, and someone may look at that and go, whoa, that's pretty bad. Well, yeah, I spent 5 minutes on it, dude. You know, it's a sketch.
Right.
But that story isn't told visually all the time. However, then there's the tremendous upside where people get to watch, for instance, like that piece, the Tower of Terror piece, you know, where, you know, just hundreds of hours, you know, 200 hours in the creation of that original art, and they get to watch weeks and weeks go by, and there's, you know, 4 inches of you know, area covered in paint and detail over, you know, a 16-hour period of time. And I think they really understand then what it takes to create these pieces, that I'm not just kind of sitting on the beach here and, you know, creating art as I am moved to create it, and, you know, and going about my day sipping, you know, frosty cocktails and slapping paint on a canvas and sending it over to Disney. I mean, it is a lot of hard work. And I think that people are able to appreciate that when they see the process. I've got nothing to hide. I've got no big secrets in terms of how I do this. I'm learning along the way, and I love sharing it with people.
Yeah. Do you ever get afraid that some hack is going to, you know, Kevin's doing that. Let's just copy that and run with it.
Man, it's being done.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid
of. It's being done. The you're familiar, obviously, with the style, the dripping style of my Hatbox Ghost and the Tower of Terror piece has that element. Mm-hmm. Well, that came from my sports art. You know, like 8 years ago, I started doing, you know, this kind of paint dripping style off the torsos and the bodies of the figures that I was doing. And now it's kind of everywhere. It was very interesting. There was a company that licenses a particular brand of art, and they looked to me to create some pieces kind of as test pieces in that style. And in between the time that I created it and it went for approvals, there was another artist that kind of slid in and created that art in the same style as me. And so now I, for this particular client, have to kind of reinvent my style because this other guy is out there. And it's not even one artist. It's a group of artists that are creating it digitally, but they apparently like the style so much as to try and mimic it. So, it is what it is. It is what it is. I can't protect against. I mean, eventually the work has to be seen, you know.
Right.
I know what my numbers are with Disney. I know what my numbers are with my personal line of Kevin John art is. And I'm very happy with those numbers. I'm very happy with the amount of art that we're selling and the amount of people that collect it and love it because it's Kevin John art. And, you know, if somebody is out there, you know, trying to mimic the style, you know, hey, dude, more power to you. You know, I've been doing this 29 years and my style has changed constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to be a step ahead. If you're following me, then I'm doing my job. So,
hey, tell us about I saw you post a picture of the Tiki Room, and not inside the Tiki Room, but outside the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
So what's that project all about?
Again, taking a sidestep from the Dark Disney, launched the Tower piece. So I wanted to, again, kind of talk about, you know, another one of my favorites. And one of my favorite areas of the park is the Tiki Room. Personally, I love anything Tiki, Disney Tiki, any Tiki. I love Tiki culture. I love that area in Adventureland outside of the Tiki Room. And there had been a little bit of Tiki art for the anniversary. I think that was, probably 4 years ago now. Of the interiors, again, the birds and some of the Tiki statues and things. But I hadn't really been able to find any Disney fine art that had the exterior and that whole area done. So now I know why, because it was a monster to do.
Yes.
There is so much detail in just the Great Ceremonial House building. I mean, it crazy, ridiculous detail. Now I know why the other artists hadn't tackled it. And they're like, yeah, leave it to Kevin John Hill. He's a maniac.
He'll detail the hell out of it. And we don't have to worry about it.
Let him tackle that thing. We're going to go over here and paint Mickey again. You know, it's nuts. So the piece is enormous. It was almost 60 inches long by about 30 inches high.
Wow.
Long panoramic. And what I really wanted the viewer to feel like is if they have just come from one of the other lands and they've just entered the Adventureland area, the sun is setting, so there's this beautiful sunset in the background, that those pinks, and I call it like pink lemonade and yellow colors, that and orange that Florida sky gets, you know. And you know, you see the palm trees, and right there in the foreground are those two huge tiki torches aflame. And then walking you back through the piece, the torches are then echoed throughout the piece. So as your eye walks back through the piece, back past the tiki room, past the tiki gods, past the tower, way back into the palm trees, those torches lead you visually through there. I kind of, again, my art, what I try and do with it is give you an idealized version of, I think, what our mind's eye remembers about visiting the parks.
Yeah.
And when I kind of close my eyes and think about the tiki room area, that's what I see. And that's what I tried to give the viewer. It was a monster to do, but I love it. Again, that piece, enormous. Was in the gallery a day. I just got over there to see it framed and placed in the gallery. I detailed some sketches on the back, signed the back, went home that night, and the next morning they sent me a message that it had sold the next morning. Again, this is a $6,000 piece.
Wow.
And it was in the gallery less than 24 hours. So I was really happy. The that's the great part. The downside is that I really wanted people to really be able to enjoy that original, because even the giclées are going to be considerably smaller, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm noticing that the time on the shelf is diminishing. Hatbox Ghost was a little bit long, and now Tower Terror is only three. Now we're talking one. I don't know if it's going to even last a day next time, Kevin.
Isn't that crazy? And
it may be hours.
You know, I kind of, you know, when you start to rebrand yourself, you know, and I started the rebranding of the Kevin John Disney art, you know, only, like I said, 2 years ago, you know, you look at it in about a 5-year chunk that, you know, 3 years, you're going to start to get, you know, some acclaim and get into the, I guess, into the red, or I'm sorry, out of the red into the black.
Right.
And then by 5 years, you should be hitting your stride where, you know, you're really selling a lot of art. There's fan, you know, the fans have really gotten behind it and everything. And man, I tell you, we're where I thought we would be in 5 years. We're here at the 2-year mark. It's really, people have really taken to this style and the things that we're doing. So I'm again, very, very happy. The sports art took me a lot longer to build a fan base. And I think the internet helps a lot. Social media helps quite a bit. You folks, you know, talking about the work. I heard you guys mention it the other day. I was listening to a podcast. You guys were talking about the Flower and Garden and mentioned the Figment. You know, and tell me, does that logo, the Figment logo this year, does that not look a little kind of like my Flowers and Figment piece?
No comment.
Just a little bit.
No comment.
And again, that's cool.
I'm just saying, copyright. Excuse me, there's something caught my throat.
You may want to contact the Disney legal department. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But then again, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Right. No, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So I think that helps. All of that really helps.
Well, we try to. Plus, I mean, we love, and like I said, we love and respect the work that you guys do. I mean, I'm looking around the room right now, and I've got several pieces of Disney art. Now, granted, it's not original pieces, but I'm working my way up to it. But we love what you guys do. And one of the things that got me excited when I was looking through some of the pieces that you were teasing everybody with was there some Pirates of the Caribbean sketches going up?
Yeah. That's the next Disney Kevin John piece. And I played with a lot of different, I mean, again, you know, the way that the Imagineers built these attractions were that everywhere you look is a visual delight.
Sure.
You know, everything is, you know, is essentially live art. So it doesn't take long to find things to interpret the attractions. So then I again choosing what to do, what to pick. And for me, I think of the things that left me as a young boy with the most chill, or the biggest memory from those attractions. When I think back to a young boy going to Disneyland, what did I remember about those attractions? And for me, in Pirates of the Caribbean, it was the helmsman skeleton. Now, if those of you who don't know that particular term, imagine at Walt Disney World, right before you go down the waterfall, the skeleton right there, who is kind of at the eternal helm. He's at the wheel, and against the storm, and even though the ship has crashed against the rocks, he is there holding steady the ship, as it were. And the lightning is going off, and it with his mouth agape, that jaw, you know, and the hair and the torn clothing, just left me with a really, really eerie feel. And so I think that's the one that I wanted to do. I put together a lot of different concept sketches of things that I want to do, studies, and things that I'm going to do with pirates, but that's going to be the first piece. Now, it's gone back and forth with some revisions with Disney already,
right.
And I think that it will eventually look a lot like, it will end up looking, instead of more of an environment piece like the Tiki Room, it will look a lot more like the Tower of Terror piece with the bellhop. He will be more of a focus center figure with a little bit of background in there. I think is the way that they'd like me to go with this. He'll be the dripping torso.
Right.
That element styling will be used in that figure. So that's where I'm going with that. That'll be the next Disney piece from Kevin John.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm just gonna say hours.
I hope so.
Gonna be hours.
Thank you.
Because that's a very iconic and popular attraction, and I think that'll just be ours, unfortunately. So get your wallets ready now, folks, because it ain't gonna be long.
That's right. Yeah, I predict that'll hit the gallery probably May. It'll be a big piece again. I love painting really large scale pieces. So it'll be, you know, 60 inches high, and it'll be one of those that hopefully will really shock you, you know, when you look at it and take you right into the ride with you.
Kind of want to wrap up, but tell us about the Dine with Kevin John experience, because when I saw this, I was like, this is like dining with an Imagineer, but dining with Kevin.
you know what you're getting.
I know, exactly.
A little bit of that idea. I have the wonderful problem of living a little more than an hour away from Walt Disney World. I live out here on the East Coast Barrier Island in Florida. I work here in my home studio. I don't work on property, but a lot of my fans and friends don't know that. They think that I'm in Orlando and I'm working at the on property.
Yeah, like Team Disney or something.
Right. There are people that come to visit weekly, you know, that I'm connected with either as friends or fans or whatever. And certainly I can't, they always want to get together, and I would love to be able to spend all of my time there with these folks, but I can't always do that because I have, you know, painting that needs to get done. So what I do is offer this really great thing that's called a meet and dine. And essentially you get, you know, 2 hours of my time, where we sit and have a good meal together on Disney property. You select the restaurant, add me as a plus two, myself and my girlfriend to your reservation. And, we eat some food and talk Disney and talk art and take photos and sign autographs and tell stories and all of that sort of thing, and really have that intimate experience with, you know, a Disney artist. And then as kind of the creme de la creme, all these concept sketches that I've talked about producing in the working process to create the final original art, as your parting gift for the Kevin John Meet and Dine, you get to keep one of those concept sketches that I have matted for you, and you personally sign it for you and your family or your guests or whoever is at the meal. You know, you get one of these to take home with you. And they're a one-of-one original piece of art that that is part of Disney history, you know. And the folks that we have done this with, I think, have really enjoyed it. I love it. It's such a good time. I love meeting these folks one-on-one, and, you know, have really developed some really wonderful friendships out of these meet and dines as well. And it's a great thing. So there's a link on my studio store that you can go and read all the details about it and everything. Right. And it's a fun thing to do, and I look forward to doing many more of them.
Yeah, we'll link up to the your store on our show notes so people can find it and check out all the art that you have up there too. But tell everybody where they can find you on the internet. I know you're probably getting close to your cap on Facebook, which is, you know, I think Mark has more than 5,000 friends. I don't know why the rest of us can't either. But tell everyone where they can find you, Kevin.
Sure. If you go to kevinjohnstudio.com, that's the studio store. You're going to see my non-Disney art there that you can select from and peruse and purchase, and the Kevin John Meet and Dine experience, all the other things that we offer. My Disney art is exclusive to Disney parks, so I don't sell any of that through the store. But yeah, through the store also, if you hit blog, that takes you to my main website. And from there, you can connect with me through social media. You know, my Twitter, my Facebook is really where you find me. I live there every day. We stream to Facebook all the time. I know I'm getting close to the 5,000, but we can manage that a little bit on our end. We're trying to plan some things ahead. We're about 100 away or so. So we're planning ahead on what we're going to do with our collectors once we cap that out. But for right now, friend me on Facebook, or you can just follow me on Facebook as well. And that is kind of your one-stop shop there for all the fun and shenanigans in Kevin John land.
You might have to create a Kevin John page, you know.
We've got a couple. Yeah. We've actually got a couple. Yeah. But we're just kind of holding. We're also rebuilding the website, right? It's up and running, but yeah, my webmaster is building a new site that's going to make all the functionality much better. So pretty much kevinjohn.com is going to be the right place where everyone's going to go.
Cool.
But it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's all got to be right for the launch. So
yeah. Any signings coming up in Disney anytime soon?
I know we're going to do a Meet Kevin John in the Parks. We don't have any official okay signings done or scheduled. Disney's backed off on them a little bit. But I do Find Kevin John in the Park and Meet Kevin John in the Park, my own stuff. So if you, again, you follow me on Facebook, and if you happen to be in the parks when I'm there, or you can even plan, because we kind of schedule these in advance, to find me in the park, and then, you know, we'll sign art and all kinds of stuff right there, and those are always fun events too. You never know what I'm going to have in store for the fans when we do those.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Kevin. We have to do it maybe a little bit more than every 2 years.
Absolutely, yes. Please, I know we're all busy, but yeah, let's do this again. Yeah. It's too good.
And you know, make sure that you go out there and you follow him on Facebook, like you said, because he does really post some interesting things, and you can follow the art process and development, which is kind of fun to watch. So, thank you, Kevin, for stopping by. We'll post everything in our show notes and link up to all your stuff. And as we say around here, we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a moon out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.